episode 314 of the podcast. Finally, we find a guest to come do our show, help us out. We've been on a dry spell, and we found just the guy to do it. Henry Marquez, Hank Cup, joins the show. You'll hear about that in a second. He had a wild career, man, and takes us through what it's like to be one of those under-the-radar guys for the Hawks. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 314 of the podcast, and this is going to be one of those that you guys really enjoy. We've got a homie to come back and hang out with us, and as we were just talking in the pre-game lobby, we'll call it, taking it back to Modern Warfare, we haven't talked in a long time. He said, dude, it feels like it's been forever, and we said, yeah, man, it's been 5 years, because as soon as he came in the building, we were basically on our way out. A guy that went from not knowing shit to making all the way through the program. We know exactly how hard that is, so that deserves its own congratulations. We've got our guy, Henry Hank Cup Marquez. And, bud, it's great to have you back on the podcast or to the podcast back to talk with us.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you guys having me on. And we'll get into that to the nicknames here soon.
I think we have to get into it right away. In the MW2 pregame lobby, I was re-informed of this Cup story. So I have to know, because I wasn't even fully read in when this happened originally. So someone set the table for me here.
Go ahead and tell your side of the story, Hank. I want to hear what you – I want you to tell the truth on this podcast one time.
Yeah, this is the truth. This is my perspective. So 2017 is my true freshman year, you know. Coming out of high school, not knowing shit. And then I got Drake, you know, fifth year senior, you know, big dog, big fullback, intimidating as shit. And then Brady Ross. So we're in the line. This is after or before our afternoon walkthrough during camp. So camp, you know, sucks ass, hot as shit out.
Going hot in this one.
Yep. No one wants to be there. Like, just get me home. I want to see some society. We're walking in. We're almost.
Oh, hold on. What level of camp goggles are on at this point in this when this happens?
Big time camp goggles, Kluber. That plays into effect. Big time camp goggles.
Okay. Yeah, this it does. It does. This is like mid to the near end of camp. So we're gassed. But we're almost up to the food line. I'll never forget it. Gray's was catering too. Never forget it. I'm in line with Drake, Brady Ross, and Matt Vandenberg. And Vandy, he's like, hey, you just cup his ass? Me minding my own business. He's like, hey, to me, talking about Brady, did you just cup his ass? I was like, what are you talking about? And then Drake's like, I think you just cupped his ass. And I was like, whoa, 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 what is going on here? Like, you guys aren't me, like, fresh. You guys got a picture, like, me freshman year, like, fifth year seniors, like I'm, you know, still not really that integrated yet, obviously. And I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? These guys are going to get a bad rap on me right away. I'm like, what is going on? And then Brady's like, yeah, dude, I seriously felt something on my ass.
Of course.
So that is my story. I never did it. Never did it. I swear Vandy was taking a shot. And, to this day, Vandy, Brady, and of course Drake always call me Cup.
I had never heard that story before. That's hilarious. I forget, both as being a freshman, how easy it was to like have people mess with you.
Oh.
And on the contrary side of that, how easy it was to freshman.
Yes.
It was unbelievable to be an old guy, wasn't it, Hank?
Oh, it was great. Like fifth year senior, you feel like you could just like take over the world in that building, because you have all the confidence, like you're on your way out, you're just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go mess with this freshman.
Dude, we had
what are they gonna do to me now?
We had right. We had Rastetter and Subert convinced that they had to get us, they had to go get our plates of dinner every night of camp and bring it back. Like shit like that. Like, yeah, you know, the young guys have to go get everybody, the whole room dinner, right? Like you just say something like that as an older guy. And the young guy's like, fuck, I guess. Okay. All right. We'll do it. Cause at that point you're like, you're just a yes man. As a freshman, 2-3 weeks in, you're a yes man, bro.
Hell yeah.
Dude, and cup man, evidently.
Of course, cup man. That is like, yes, like you said, Clue, like that is so true. And like Kevin said, like going in as a freshman and then going out as a senior, like, and that's honestly how you build relationships. That's honestly what makes it great. Like,
you got a cup and ass or two?
About this, well, yeah.
That's what you got a cup and ass or two. You got to come in as a freshman, not knowing shit about shit. First time you ever had camp goggles, start feeling a little gay, and all of a sudden you cut somebody. And that's that you just end up going through the program as cut, dude. That's you got caught.
That's the theme of the story. If you're going into your first camp and you're trying to make an impression on everyone, just cup some ass and you'll be set for the rest of your life.
Just get a little gay, huh? Nothing to be wrong. Nothing wrong with that. So what an intro to this podcast. First of all, thanks for coming on and subjecting yourself to this. Hopefully mom and dad Marquez listen and are super proud of that story. And yeah, man. As Drake mentioned in the intro, hard to make it through. Not a lot of guys do it. Do you remember specifically how many guys were in your class, walk-on and scholarship combined, Henry?
I don't know the exact number, but on the way out fifth year, it was like, I could probably name the remaining.
How many guys ran out on senior day with you?
Including transfers as well, because I count the original like 17 to 2022, basically.
Yeah, yeah. The OGs, no transfers.
The OGs. So want me to just go through them?
Yeah, just name them. There's not many, I'm sure.
So it's me, Max Cooper, Ryan Gersonde, Bryce Schulte, Tommy Cuyava, Jack Kerner, Kyler Schott.
You gritty bastards in there.
Yeah. And God, I'm missing a few.
So what, maybe 12? You're at like seven.
I'm at seven. So around 10.
And there was probably 35 or so when you came in.
Definitely around 35, 100%.
To your guys' credit, though, you guys lost a few more guys at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
We didn't have any really. We had a couple guys not redshirt, but no one left.
Yeah, we had, out of my class, it was Werfs, Gino, and AJ that left early.
It's a decent
class. That's an unbelievable class.
So what's it feel like to come in with guys like that? Because we committed to a 4-8 team, so we didn't really have any superstars in our class. What's it like to come in with guys who are national big dogs, like guys like you know are big time players and maybe even play right away? What's it feel like? Like, I don't know, because like our class, we didn't really have that. We had
AJ thought Kevin was a manager.
AJ thought I was a manager. Yeah. We told that story before.
That's my favorite story.
But yeah, dude, that is a great question because it's like wild because it's kind of surreal because you don't know everyone's going to be like that, but you kind of have a feeling like, oh, this guy's highly recruited, like highly touted about, people are believing him, stuff like that. But you all come in together. It's your first college camp and first college experience. And then honestly, like Werfs, I think Werfs is like one of my great friends that I came out of, you know, Iowa coming in and then going out, talk to him at least every month, just checking in. And yeah, definitely just coming in with those guys like Werfs, just a freak athlete starting right guard freshman year, AJ, you know, third down menace freshman year, and then Gino obviously like dominating on special teams, making those huge hits. Then you like tend to see it like, okay, we're playing, all right, these guys are pretty special. I'll never forget, like, Coach O'Keefe was talking about Gino. He was like, Gino made this like great pick in practice. I remember watching on tape, Coach O'Keefe, he was like, Gino is going to be a great player. Turns out, boom, you know, started the last couple games this past season for the Ravens. And but yeah, back to the point, those guys, just you come in, you build relationships, and you know, now you see those guys in the league just dominating, like we're first team all pro. So just coming in with that, having those relationships, that's just, it's great, because then you feel still in tune to the game.
100%, man. I mean, we're still living through it with her in the league, and it's our way to stay attached to it. But what was it like as like the guys kind of like were they kind of drawn to them as being like, you know, like these guys are probably going to be, or like, were they just like kind of natural leaders of the class? Like, I don't know, because we didn't really have like any five.
We were the worst fucking Iowa recruited class in KF's history. So that's just where we're coming from. We just want to know what it's like to come in with some dudes. Like, it just.
Yeah, we definitely, obviously, like as the season went on, like, okay, worse, like he's a freak. And then, you know, AJ as well. Those guys were the two, like, okay, these guys are, they were all Americans for a reason, you know? And, coming in, seeing how like huge they are in their growth, like they were kind of the leaders of the class, because those guys were the guys playing. Like most of us freshmen were in that, you know, Sunday lift group. You guys know what it feels like. And Wirfs and AJ, even Wirfs and AJ, this is back in the Doyle days, Wirfs would start every snap of a game and he'd still be in the Sunday lift group until Doyle was like, okay, midway through the year, you're good. Go out to the rolling group. Go out to the stretch and run group. But no, those.
I was just gonna ask a question, because everybody gets humbled, right? Like nobody escapes, no matter how good you are. And what was it like as a guy who, you know, you're the walk on, the guy who has to grind it out, the guy who has to find his spot every single day? It feels like. I mean, I'd love to hear your perspective on like that always performance mindset that, you know, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But what was it like to see the stars of a class still go through like a humbling experience, get humbled by an older guy, or do something just a little bit wrong and a coach goes off on them and you're like, shit, like no one gets through easy, huh? Like, what was that like coming from your perspective?
Well, like just having that grind mindset, like I came in as a 3-star. I was, you know, everyone thinks their shit doesn't stink when they're walking in, like you're recruited, shit like that. And me, I didn't have a good, obviously, start to my college career. And, but like seeing how like guys get humbled, like Wirfs is a perfect example to me for that, because he was starting and then boom, he's in the Sunday lift group. And it's like, whoa, okay, like I'm not doing shit. I'm redshirting. I'm going out there dressing. This guy's playing 60, 70 snaps, going up against the best of the best, and he's still in here working. Like that just gives like perspective of like, all right, like I'm redshirting. I'm not playing right now, so I gotta work my ass off in here.
At that point, you felt like, oh, I'm a manager. I'm lifting 8 days a week and I'm a manager if Wirfs is still in the Sunday lift crew.
Seriously. And it's just like, wow, this guy, like we would always talk like, wow, like, dude, how are you doing this right now? Aren't you sore? Like I'm sore from standing on the sideline.
Hey, it's true though. People don't understand. Standing around on the sidelines, get a little tight.
Yeah, legs, back. Oh my God, you come in there and you're squatting, you're max squatting the next day. They don't feel good.
Doesn't feel great, especially after you spend a night in a twin bed.
The Peterson twin beds, and after probably a night worth of drinking.
Hey, they had the co-ed dorm, you know, so they might have gotten a little loose. You don't know what was going on past 2018 there, 2017. Hank, what you came in and what was the personal expectation? You got drafted in the league, like in the MLB, and you chose, you know what, I'm gonna pick the football route. Talk to me about that mindset, that whole dynamic coming out of high school.
Yeah. So hardest decision of my early like adult life, easily, because the first day I get to Iowa, June 12th, I'll never forget it. June 12th, I get a call from my advisor, my baseball advisor. He's like, hey, draft started today. I'm hearing that you might be in rounds 1 through 10, which is like the first day. And that's June 12th. I was like, oh my God, great. So I get like a couple texts from these scouts. They're like, hey, well, this is prior. I wouldn't say on the day, but this is prior, like a couple days earlier. It's like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? Like, we all know you're committed to play college football, Iowa, the whole nine. And I just couldn't, like, because in baseball, if you're a high draft pick and say, you know, Kyler Murray, like he was a high draft pick, first round pick, went 9th overall to the A's, but he didn't go, the A's lose that value in that pick. Mm-hmm. So to me, thinking, I don't want to screw a team over by taking a high pick where I'm unsure if I'm going to go. So they lose that value in the pick and it's just a shit show for them.
Good guy.
So I was like,
you're a nicer guy than most. I think most people say, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to the MLB. That way they actually take the higher draft pick on you.
Yeah. So it was just like,
kudos, I was like, to you.
I'm not going to screw over. So I just said, you know, I'm unsure right now. I'll see where it goes. So all these teams were like, all right, like they take that information. And then, so then I
hey, what the fuck, dude?
What?
You lie your balls off until they put you in front of a fucking grand jury, kid. What?
Drake, I didn't, you know, my morals, and I'll get into it. Why my decision, like why
you don't have to. We understand you're different than Drake.
But so it comes, you know, so that doesn't happen. So I don't get drafted on the first day, June 13th, second day. I don't get drafted then. And I'm hearing a lot just like, hey, they're just like, we're going to take you with a late round pick. So like, if you go, it's fine. So on June 14th, we're in the you guys remember the student athlete, like in the summer on
Wednesday. Oh, the kickoff.
Yes.
Oh,
we're in there taking a student athlete test, which I have no idea. Why do we have to take that? So I'm in it. And I know before in the, you know, John Bruno and all them, they're like, no phones near, put your phones out. I was like, screw that. Kept my phone in my pocket and I had it on full buzz where you could hear it on my leg basically. And because
like
I know,
like gladiator dildo buzz, full on. Yeah. Excellent.
And because I knew it was going to happen because I got information like, hey, it's going to be soon. And the Padres, they text me right before. They're like, hey, we're going to take you in this upcoming round. And I was like, okay. So I was like, fuck it. I'm keeping it on me. So as soon as we start the test, everyone sits down, quiet, like two questions through. I don't even know what the fucking questions were. I get a buzz on my phone. I look at it. I like do the little sneak and it's my scout that I talked to for the Padres. So I'm like, I get up and I start walking to the door with the phone and Bruno, Liz, they're like, oh, what are you doing? Like, why do you have your phone? Blah, blah. I'm like, I just got drafted. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like you're here in college, like all this. I'm like, no, I just got drafted. I need to take this call. So, and they're still like, you know, freaking out. And I just walk out. I just walked out of the room. But what was great, all of my people in my class, they all knew what was going on. So they all started clapping during the test.
That's hilarious.
So John and them were like, what is going on? Like, no one knows what is going on. Is this like a prank? I walk out, I take the phone call, find out I've been drafted by the San Diego Padres. And then I'm sitting on the bench. I didn't finish the test, by the way. That's fucking
test is still sitting there in McBride Hall.
So I got out of the thing early, which was the best part. I don't know about being drafted, but that was the best part, getting that shit out of there.
Said fucking drafted.
I'm sitting on the bench outside. I'm like, trying to explain it to these guys, like, yeah, you know, I got drafted to the MLB, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, I thought you were throwing a prank. So that's the whole, that's the story. But the reason why I chose football is because all my family members have all played Big Ten football. My dad played at Iowa in the 80s. My three brothers, my oldest Joe, played at Maryland. My older played at Illinois, and my twin played at Illinois. He still does. Don't know how.
And your twin who played Illinois never beat you, dude. Tell, that was the biggest question that I wanted to ask you. What does it feel like for the rest of your life to hold that over your brother? Like, that's got to be awkward at all Christmases. Like, they're like, oh, Hank, it's great to have you back at Christmas. And then they're like, you know, your brother's been here all 5 years because Illinois sucks dick. But,
hey,
you know, tell us about that. That's fun.
Same with Jim. Jim, I played Jim for 2 years at Illinois. Jim is the guy. So from left to right, that's oldest. Joe, he's at Maryland. He was gone before. You guys probably played Joe, honestly. He was a center. Then Jim played at Illinois, played him twice, beat him twice. Then me and then Mike. Mike's at Illinois. But, yeah, they never beat me. But you say Christmas? Drake, I was never at a Christmas party because I was always prepping for a bowl game, baby.
That's my point. Now you're back. And, you know, it's going to be like, oh, Hank, it's great to have you back. You know, your brothers have been here all 5 years. So,
yeah, it is great. And, you know, having those Big Ten, like, bitterness. I will say, Joe always is like, yeah, we beat Iowa when you weren't there. Because what? They beat us at home, I believe, 1 year. Maryland did.
Oh, no, we lost to them at Maryland in 20.
Yeah,
at Maryland. Yeah. So he'll always hold that. But yeah, you know, that's always a thing. And whenever we get all like talking shit and stuff about football, I'll always bring up, hey, you know, no one can say they beat my ass.
Quick second shout out to our boys at DRF. We got the NBA Daily Odds Boost. Sounds pretty good to us. Will Steph Curry not to double-double? Jason Tatum going to score the first basket of the game? What about Giannis scoring over 30 and the Bucks winning? Player props like these are boosted every single day at DRF Sportsbook. They want to see you cash in this NBA playoffs and are boosting all sorts of bets. So head over to the DRF Sportsbook app or ia.drf.com and start betting today.
That is that's quite the dynamic. The four brothers, all of them played in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Look at the wards.
We only had three, though. Yeah, but we're past them, bro. And we understand that they're like the wards are different in every way. Well, Kevin's pretty normal, but the other two and Beef are just, I mean, those humans are, those they're not normal. Did y'all just beat the shit out of each other when you were younger?
Oh, yeah.
I had two brothers who were semi close, and it was a just an absolute boxing match, basically through high school. And you added another one, and in this picture specifically, for those that were watching the YouTube I had up a second ago, I mean, y'all were, how close were the older two in age? Like, not too far away.
Yeah. So it goes. So Joe is 4 years older than me. Jim's 2 years older than me. And then me.
Oh, so y'all were, oh man.
Close. And even to make matters even worse, I had two cousins that played at Northwestern. So it was, and then my, you know.
Fuck Northwestern.
You know, I hate Northwestern. I hate them. But then I also had a cousin that played in the NFL as well. So we were all.
Jesus Christ.
We were all killing each other, and I'll never forget, dude, one of the stories just from growing up, we would always play in the basement. It would be called knee football, and somehow it'd be Jim and Mike against me. That's it. That's a two-on-one, and they'd be on their knees, and I'd try to get past them, and they'd just like, all right, on the snap of the ball, they're going. Like, they're going at my legs, so we're playing, you know, we're all – getting competitive, like hating each other, like fuck you. You probably won't say that, but like
fourth grade, fuck you, man.
Well, I'll never forget it, dude. I got on the snap of the ball, Jim and Mike just had this plan. They just dove right at my legs. I fell over, broke my wrist and my, like, broke my whole wrist, my middle finger, and my whole hand. And I'm like, there's still a scar today of just, it was massive. My whole thing just broke. And yeah. These were like, don't worry, like, we won't tell mom. It'll be all. And they started like waterboarding me too, because I was laying down. I was like, oh my pain. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm freaking out. Never broke a bone in my life. And they're just dumping water on me. Like, dude, relax. You'll be good. And then a week passes. I'm like, mom, like, my wrist hand is destroyed. I can't do it. And turns out it was a full-on broken wrist, broken hand, you know, cut in half, middle finger. And my mom.
How old were you when this happened?
This was like third grade, fourth grade.
So you was a third grader. You're like, what, 8 years old, just been walking around with a broken hand for a week?
Yeah. It was awful. And it was during the summer too. So baseball, trying to hold a bat, like, I was just like, I can't even hold it. So my mom was in the military. She's a military mom.
Oh, that explains it.
So I get up in the morning, I'm like, mom, my wrist is killing me. I think I need to go in the doctor. And like, my mom is a nurse. So she like checks it out, blah, blah, blah. She's like, all right, we'll go in, find out broken wrist, come back. My mom is just, what were you guys doing? Like, how does he have a broken wrist? No one's fussing up. And then I was just like, all right, we're playing knee football while everyone was gone. And I rolled over, broke my wrist. And then my mom was, obviously my parents were pissed. They're like, what are you guys idiots? What are you guys doing? And we have a full, you know, baseball season. So I'm out for the whole baseball season, of course. My parents are pissed. And so, yeah, that's how it is growing up. And then Joe, I don't even know where Joe was. Joe was probably, I don't know. There's crazy stories about
us.
Pissed. I remember fighting Joe when he was like 50 pounds more than me, just getting my ass beat. And it was great. There's pros and cons of growing up being like the middle, younger child, third child. And they always call me the instigator, which I love. So,
yeah. So you had cousins that played, y'all played.
What was Grandpa Marques eating? Because that man was shooting some goddamn swimmers.
Yeah. So I actually never met my grandpa. My grandpa died before I was born.
Wait a minute.
No, it's okay. But my grandpa was a huge sports fanatic, and obviously, like, my dad played at Iowa, you know, growing up. And then my uncle also played at Army. So it was just we're, you know, they love sports, and then it just came down to us. And fortunate for my parents to, you know, have four boys go play college football. So
Are there any males in your family that didn't play Division I football, and do they even show up to the gatherings? Like, do they?
I'm just going by the math here. In about four generations, the entire NFL is just going
to
be Marques.
I mean, like, when they come to Thanksgiving, do they have to wait until the guys who made it eat turkey before they go through the line? Or I'm confused.
They just have to wash the dishes.
for the guys that didn't play sports in college, they got all the brains. So it evens out.
They're jealous as fuck, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, any Marques male, guaranteed, I don't care how smart they are.
Imagine how insecure you got to be growing up the high school. You're the Marques that's the nerd and not the athlete.
Like,
I mean, you know, insecurity like that doesn't leave.
You're like, yeah, I have 12 cousins and seven are boys and four girls. And all the boys are playing D1 football. And so did my dad and my grandpa and everybody else, and I'm
my uncle.
And my band concerts next week, like, like, that's tough, man.
That's a shot at the band, and I love the band. But like when your whole family is doing one thing, and you're the
but one. You can't get any ass when your brothers are on the field and you're blowing the tuba. Get ass that way.
Yeah, it's just not happening. So then, why Iowa?
We're scumbags.
I know. Why Iowa? Why split with the twin? What's the story there?
Cliff, hang on. Let me let my freaking dog in.
Yeah, no. We're gonna talk shit about your other cousins.
We have a pause button.
Oh, that's true. We can totally just cut this. I kind of want to talk though. Like seriously, like, can you imagine being in that family? Yeah. Well, Henry and Mike.
No, we just talked about it, dude. I would have, you know, me. I would have already jumped off the roof,
bro. Unbelievable. Anyway,
so why the split? Why Iowa? Well, I grew up an Iowa fan.
Because it's way cooler than Illinois.
Well, yeah, Illinois shit state. But Kevin and I know that.
Yeah.
Iowa, my dad played at Iowa. I grew up watching Iowa games like Sean Green, Adrian Claiborne, all those guys. Yeah, I just loved it. And, you know, Coach Ferentz being there, it's just Saturday. We go to Iowa City and watch the games and stuff. And always watch them on TV. And that was just like a dream of mine. Like, wow, Iowa, like my dad played there. Like, that's super cool. And seeing all his pictures downstairs, he played in the Rose Bowl, like Rose Bowl jersey. Like, that was my big goal. Like, oh, he made it to the Rose Bowl with Iowa. I want to make it to the Rose Bowl with Iowa. And obviously, you know, we screwed those chances up many times. But, no, it was good. That's why I chose Iowa. And
was it hard to split with the twin?
Yeah. Was he not drinking the Kool-Aid or what were you guys getting fed different Kool-Aid or what was going on there?
Everyone grew up an Iowa fan here in my family, but,
hey. So it's your brother who did the split.
So everyone did, but, so for Mike specifically, he wanted to like create his own path. Like he didn't want to follow in the footsteps of my dad or, I was committed to Iowa before Mike was committed to Illinois. So since I did that, he kind of knew I was going to do it. Like he didn't want to like, I guess, follow. He wanted to make his own path. And yeah, it's worked out for him so far. And now that, I mean, kind of, he's had three head coaches, which is tough, but
I'd say,
but it definitely works out. It works out. Everyone's, has their own path, and I just chose mine to follow my dad's.
Was he a big baseball guy too?
Oh yeah, he had some D1 interest for baseball, but it was, you know, the fan, like, I swear there's a family expectation, like you're an athlete, like you're playing football.
Yeah, I know, or you don't eat at Thanksgiving. I'm fully aware.
Yeah, definitely. That's football was his thing, and it's obviously everyone's.
So you get to Iowa. What's the expectation for yourself? What's the ideal career path? You walk in that freshman camp that you're talking about. It's hot. You're trying to find your way through, you know, Drake calling you Cup and them setting you up at dinner with Gray's, and you got class coming up. You're trying to find classes. What was the beginning of your career like?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind, like nothing that I've, you know, ever experienced. Like that was the first time I've been alone because I'm usually with my twin. Like that's usually with him. We do everything together, same friends. But now it's different. And then football, you know, it's hot as shit. Never gone through like a camp like that ever. And those were before, you guys remember, before the rulings all changed on camp. I think.
Yeah, and ask Kevin about it.
Oof. But wait, 2017 is your first camp?
2017.
Dude, you didn't even have to do doubles.
I know. So the rules changed, and then
doubles were better, Hank. Don't let them fool you.
Bullshit. Absolutely were better.
Our camp was longer though, right? It was just single days but long duration.
No. You've never been through what we were went
there
through.
There was a 2013 camp was 23 days long, and that's 8, 10 doubles.
I think
there?
It was 8 doubles. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't speak on that.
Back in our day, we were a little goddamn tougher, Hank.
Now, I said the story on the podcast before, but I was talking with Coach Woods one day. He's like, "Oh, you guys think you had it hard back your freshman year compared to now? You want to know what I did my senior year? Day one was practice in the morning, media day in the afternoon. Day two, practice in the morning, practice in the afternoon. Day 3 through 20, same as day 3. And so they had doubles every day.
They had a double every single day. I think there was once, I want to say once upon a time, they ran triples too. There was
you
some.
Can't. No way. You can't do it without dying. That not just a means full, people didn't know what was going on.
Not a full third practice, but I want to say once upon a time, I've heard like back in like the 70s or 80s, they ran like a 1 hour walkthrough plus two hour practices or something like that. So that's trash, but yeah. So you're,
did it make you want to quit, Hank?
Oh my God. Well,
tell the truth.
For my camp, I've never failed so much in my football career. And at that point I was just like, I'm not doing great. I expected it to be way better. I was expected to be better just from, that was like the worst I felt playing football was,
yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
It was just like I was
for 90% of freshmen showing in way over their heads as far as a knowing what the hell is going on, just trying to figure out where to go next in practice, like just following along wherever your group's going. Two, like you're kind of getting your ass beat on the field all over the place. And three, like you said, you're kind of just miserable. It's shit work. You're getting your ass beat. You're tired as hell all the time. And you kind of just want to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And like my camp was not the best. I never dropped the ball coming into college. And I was dropping the ball like so many times. I'm like, what is going on? Like, did I lose it? Am I like a fraud? And
guy was questioning. Guy, camp hit him so hard. Guy thought he forgot how to play the game.
Dude, Iowa football hit me the same way, Hank, and I still haven't been the sense.
Yeah, we know.
18-year-old Drake was way more confident.
I was just like,
18-year-old Drake did not lack confidence.
Yeah,
no, that was damn sure.
Fucking earrings, a crotch rocket, and 300% confidence is what Drake had.
I was like, oh my God, I suck. Like, what is going on? Like, I was thinking, like, how's it going? Like, I would always talk to my brothers that are in camp as well. They're like, hey, how's it going? They're like, you know, I'm making some plays, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck me. Like,
I wanted you to say you fucking hated it too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it fucking sucked. But then I was, you know, these guys are making plays. These guys are saying it sucks. They're making plays. I'm saying it sucks. I'm not making plays. So, yeah, freshman year was tough. And, you know, I had committed too. So I was a receiver, obviously. And I committed. So Bobby Kennedy was the receiver coach. You guys remember?
Hey, Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah. And so he moved to Stanford. So then Coach Wallace started recruiting me the most. Cause he's, you know, the area. And, so I, you know, then Cope comes in. Cope, you know, I knew Cope from NIU before, but Coach Bobby Kennedy, like when that coaching change happened, I was like, all right, I'm still committed to Iowa. Like I'm in Iowa through and through. And Coach Wallace was the best, one of my favorite coaches ever.
Goat Wallace.
You mean the goat?
Yeah. He's the fucking man, the man. And, so, yeah, my career was just not off to a hot start, definitely.
I really just held back on something that I was going to say about the whole Coach Wallace situation. Oh, man. Yeah, so, God, that's so fun. Dude, that's so funny. That's like some comedy we haven't had in a while. You sitting there texting your brothers saying, hey, how's camp going? And they're like, yeah, man, it's tough, but I'm making a few plays. And you're back in Peterson going, fuck, I'm not making any plays.
Yeah, no shit. And obviously, like, true freshmen, like, they get in with the three, so it's, like, fucking 23-22B. You got to go dig out the fucking safety, and it's just like, I don't want to do that shit. Maybe you get, like
– they might throw the ball one time in a set of threes and
– yeah, and it's, like, a maybe, like, a deep shot, and that's, like, it. And then it's just like, fuck, man. Like, I'm not getting any plays. I'm not getting any catches. Like, I wasn't used to it. And it just, oh, my God, it sucked.
Was there a time where you legitimately ever – because, dude, you're locked in. Like, if you don't graduate and go through the program and you're – like, you're to the back of the line at the family. Like, you end up with Tuba Boy. So
you've pretty much already – correct me if I'm wrong, but like it's past time where you can say, hey, call the MLB back. It's like, can I still come hang out?
Or- yo, Padres, I suck. Can I come throw the ball around?
Trust me, baseball, I was like, so I already, since I practiced, I established I was an amateur. So
okay, that yeah.
Times passed. And when that was happening throughout freshman year, I was like, fuck me, I was good at baseball. Like,
dude, why were you not playing baseball at Iowa? I don't understand.
So you guys want to get into that right now?
Get in there.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, the plan was Coach Ferentz and Coach Doyle, they knew I'd been drafted baseball. And the plan was like, hey, you're here. You're on scholarship for football. Like, football's first. We're going to have you go through one full season without baseball, and then we'll discuss it after. So go through one season, then I'm like, you know what, let's go through another. Like, then I obviously started liking it, getting to know everyone. And
caught a few balls.
Yeah, I caught, did that as well. So then sophomore year, after the season, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go play baseball. And so I'm on the team, basically, 2 months. It's like training camp for baseball. It's not good. But I would lift in the morning with football, those hard fucking, winter lifts.
Oh, you're talking the first 8 weeks of spring.
Yeah. And then, so then after the lift, I'd go home, then I'd eat something, go right back, 4-hour baseball practice. I wouldn't go to class, boys. Like, I would take online classes and tell my teachers, like, hey, it's not happening. So, I'd get home at like 6 and do it all over again. I was miserable. It sucked for 2 months, basically. So then, like a week before the first game, we're going to Hawaii to go play because it's shitty out in the Midwest. Go play in fucking Hawaii. And Coach Heller, he's like, hey, you're not allowed to play. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been here for like 2 months practicing every day, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, Title IX and Office of Civil Rights rulings are ruling you can't. I'm like, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? And then, so I went through all these meetings, bro, like 2 to 3.
Is it because you didn't take that test?
Yeah, they're holding it against my ass. But no, so 2 to 3 months, I'm going to all these meetings, like, AD, athletic department meetings. Got Coach Ferentz involved. Coach Ferentz was with me through and through, had my back, meeting with baseball, everything. NCAA was involved. And apparently they were counting me as two people, Henry baseball, Henry football, which makes no fucking sense. And that apparently threw off the male
funding for – that had to be equal.
Like,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard on this podcast. And we've said some dumb shit here.
We've really said some dumb shit, and that does rank number one. That's absolutely on the Mount Rushmore.
Isn't that crazy? So I'm like, I train my balls off. I'm doing all this. I don't go to class. I barely have energy to like stand up when I'm done from lifting and baseball, everything. And you're telling me I can't fucking play? And to me, I'm like, wait, you can't. Like, to me, this is me being like a little arrogant little bitch. But I'm like, you're telling me you don't want a former MLB draft pick to be on your fucking team to come play for you? You're not going to drop a leg or lose an arm for me to go get this figured out. And of course, you couldn't have done it 2 months prior when maybe you had the idea of it. So that was the whole thing. It took 2 to 3 months. Season, the baseball season was basically over. So even if it did get resolved, the season was over, basically. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm not doing it. And so that was my Iowa baseball career. I still have a picture. B-Ray would always come to practices. My first practice, he took a picture of me in my baseball uniform, posted it. And, all these people were like, is that Marquez? Like, he's playing baseball now? Like, oh, sweet. Because, you know, all the crazies are just like, all the loving Hawkeye fans, love him to death. They're like, oh, this guy was drafted. Like, we're going to be good. And then, so it all fell through. But so that's my Iowa baseball. So I made friends over Iowa baseball. I have no hard feelings for that, but it was just kind of bullshit.
That's wild.
That story just made me so mad, dude. I can't even explain it. I can't imagine being you because I'm seething right now.
Yeah, it was tough. It was especially the worst thing to me was just, I just grinded my ass off for 2 months doing spring ball, playing baseball every fucking day, not going to class, not having time to fucking, like, all the guys would go out. You guys know Friday, that's the last lift. Everyone's like, fuck yeah. Like, it's the weekend. We're going to Summit, baby. And then me.
Can't even beat off at the end of the week. No energy.
I got practice tomorrow morning. So all my friends, have fun. And so just all the hard work that I put in for it, and it just sucked.
Were you able to, after that was all said and done, so now you're after that, all that shit falls through, you're now at the end of the summer going into your third football season?
Yeah.
And like, were you mentally able to process and take anything positive out of that experience?
No, it was, I wouldn't say anger, but it was just like, I don't know, saltiness, I guess. Just like,
oh,
like, what the fuck is going on with my college career? And my second year, it was the Outback Bowl, right? Mississippi State.
Yep.
I switched positions for the first time, moved over to DB. So I moved from receiver to DB, bottom of the totem pole, trying to learn the defense, shit like that. Playing special teams, though. Played special teams second year. Lettered my second year. So that was good. But, you know, you switch positions, you're literally at the bottom of the totem pole. And then baseball happens. And then going into junior year, I'm like, what the fuck's going to happen? Like, am I even going to compete to try and play defense this year? Because I just started and it sucked. And it really, like, it was awful. But,
oh.
So, yeah. That's that whole time period. It was just fucking wild.
That's going to make the rest of life feel so easy, dude, because nothing that anybody in your job or anything can make you feel as low as those moments made you feel. That's a promise.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Going through the program, you guys know, like, you learn so many life lessons, and you're just like going out and talking to like guys that, and people that haven't had that experience, it's like, you have a different mindset. You just have a way different mindset. You're organized, you're disciplined. And just that mindset just puts you over the top by a little bit.
It's hard to even explain to other people when I talk.
That's the reason why Kevin's the CEO of his company at 27.
Yeah. Kevin owns Stryker and Drake and I know Kevin, and it's awesome.
You know what's great, Kevin? So my girlfriend, Chuck Hartlieb's daughter, Lauren Hartlieb, shout out Lauren. She just started on Monday at Stryker.
Oh, good for her. Where's she at?
Kalamazoo,
Stryker Central right there, baby. Hey, yep. shout out your girlfriend's dad, Chuck, because for him starting that networking event, that is how I even heard about this job. You know, one thing leads to another.
If she wanders around down there, they got Kevin, a statue of Kevin down there somewhere.
In the headquarters, I heard.
Yeah, in a big office and a plaque and everything. So
I'm actually there right now.
Yeah, that's where he is.
Yeah.
So you're in year three. And obviously year three, you get more special teams playing time. Right. You're feeling good about where you're at with the special teams. Like what's your mindset going into year three? Like, where do you see your career at this point?
Yeah. Year three, like career wise, I'm just like, hey, I'm going to finish football and I'm going to get a great degree. And like, obviously going into like Iowa, I'm like, oh, NFL, like I want to play in the NFL. This point, I was just like, fuck this.
Get me to senior.
I was just like, yeah, seriously. And so year three, feeling decent about special teams, you know, played the year before, got some good action. So year three, I'm playing a lot more special teams. Coach Woods really like helped me out. And then year three was honestly one of the most fun years I had at Iowa. Holiday Bowl. We win 10 games. We kicked shit out of USC. It was great. And then all my class members are going to get drafted. Tristan, AJ, Gino.
Hey.
Your dog's pissed about it too.
I know. This guy. He's
happy that you're around though. He's happy you didn't go off to some NFL.
So. Oh yeah. And so it was a great year. Loved that year. And we only lost 3 games by a combined like 14 points. Michigan by
3.
One touchdown, I think, right?
Something. Yeah. Because it was 10-3. Penn State by 5. And then Wisconsin by 2. So,
yeesh.
Great teams. Honestly, should have beat. I'll give Penn State that win. But honestly, should have beat Wisconsin. That 2-point conversion was tough to watch. You know, we score, crowd goes silent, 2-point conversion, great play call. And then the Camp Randall just erupts. I'll never forget that. It's night, it's cold as shit. But then Michigan, you know, just a defensive battle. They win the game on a post touchdown on a true freshman corner. But yeah, that was a great year. Year three was great. And I started getting like way more confident. Obviously, like I was friends with everyone on the team, but just like the confidence level got like
I'd say year three is when it clicks for most guys.
Oh yeah. And it definitely started clicking, especially I got my first like banquet awards year three. And that was just like a, like, wow, my hard work's paying off for special teams and scout team. We could get in the scout team, like play
team,
on
team leader award defense that year.
Yeah. Team leader award. And then
X-Man in award. Special teams.
Special teams.
Holy shit, huh? Collecting some hardware. Okay. Holy shit.
We'll get you some awesome trophies to put up in that office right there.
This guy, Henry Marquez, came in 2017. Okay. Didn't know shit. Thought he was going to play baseball. All right.
This guy didn't know shit about shit. Okay. No, this guy.
I'll tell you one thing. All right. This guy, he loves playing the game of football. He doesn't care where we put him. Offense, defense, special teams. He's going to go out there and give great effort.
He'll fill the fucking water bottles if we need him to, so we can eat at Thanksgiving, all right? Because if he doesn't, he's going home and getting buried.
70, okay. Back in 1870, you know, when I was around there, you guys know how he always brings it back to something.
Oh, dude.
For us, it was always like, back in 02, okay? We had guys humming, all right?
Your mic just switched. Yeah, no, Hank, that's hilarious. He brings something back from the 80s.
Yeah.
Probably one every 3 times he opens his mouth. It's amazing.
It's a Monday, Wednesday team meetings when he's talking about the opponent, you know. Penn State's a great one because, you know, Pennsylvania guy, and I love that. I love KF. I love all those stories because it gives great perspective. But anyway, sorry to get off track. Yeah, but 2019, that was like one of the most fun years. You're growing older. You're going to be like a upperclassman. You basically are.
Yep.
And you just have that confidence. And then going into spring ball, I get switched over to receiver again. And that was just tough. That was tough because I knew I knew what I was getting into. Coach Ferentz, he would always ask me, he's like, hey, you don't have to do it, but I think it will benefit the team. And like, not to like toot my own horn, but like he literally would say that every time I would get switched, like, this, I think this is for the betterment of the team. You know, we'll see how it goes. And I'm like, of course, like I'm going to do everything I can for the team. So I'd switch over, even knowing I know what this is going to be about, just for guys to get rested, someone that knows the offensive playbook and go through spring ball, the shitty spring ball, stuff like that. I knew it was, and like, I had, obviously, like, I'm a competitor. I'm going to compete and get everything I get. And, but I just knew, like, it was just for, over there, just for the team, just for the team. And so I did that. And then that spring ball was, I mean, it was fine. You guys know spring ball, it's like a blur. And then going into the season, I get switched over the defense. Get switched back over mid-camp. Oh, no. 4 or 5 practices in, switch over defense. I'm like, dude. So four different positions. I'm back down on the podium.
You got mixed up so bad that you can't even speak anymore. That's how many times you switch positions.
And, which did you like playing better?
Sorry for Saint barking. This guy.
This guy. He says.
This guy. You know. He's always. He's a German Shepherd.
What's he bark? Oh, he's a German. Drake just got a German Shepherd.
Yeah. He's the best. He's the best, but he's always on alert. So, which is great. But he always barks.
Look at this guy.
This guy, he'll probably run over here soon. But
So yeah. where are we at now? Have we hit COVID yet? Was this year 4, 2020?
Year 4, 2020. So going in, you know, camp, and then it gets shut down. I switched back before, you know, the shutdown. So I know I'm a DB. And we're doing like the Zoom meetings. We're having the Zoom meetings, and it sucks. Like I'm a in-person learner, mostly.
What's Phil like on the Zoom meetings? I gotta know.
You know, he wasn't on the camera, but you could hear him. You know, TP's on the fucking camera controlling it. Well, but he's got the screen.
That makes a lot more sense.
Got the pointer, and he's just like, motherfucker, you know. And well, me learning that, like relearning, like I knew that I had a good grasp of the defense at the time. But obviously, like, I had to go through, like, the re-implementation, basically. Like, I got to get acclimated again to the defense. So we're going over Zoom. We're having these Zoom meetings at, like, 7 a.m. and trying to learn it again or just get, like, the feeling back of knowing it. COVID happens, and then, you know, we start playing games again. October 24th, I think, was the first game, Purdue.
Yep.
And the first practice being a DB again, I pull my hamstring bad, tear my hamstring. I'm out for the first 2 weeks.
Jesus.
At Purdue and then Northwestern at home. And we lose those two games and then come back, kick the shit out of Michigan State, like 45-7, win 6 straight. Michigan pulls out on us. Mizzou pulls on us for the bowl game. That was a great. The testing sucked. That was awful. But it was, other than that, like, it was a great, fun year. Like, everyone, we were just with each other. No one was going out. No, obviously, like, everything was shut down. And it was just a team. And
what was it like playing in front of, like, empty stadiums?
Man, it sucked. But, like,
I mean, did it feel like a practice? Because in my head, it's like, this just feels probably like one, like a spring practice where we're doing like a moving ball period and we're just jawing at the offense across the field.
It was like a spring Saturday practice. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, those games, like, obviously you have adrenaline, like you're going to go play a game, but like you can't, like the noise, you could hear everything, like literally everything. And that was just weird. It was extremely weird. And
was there more shit talking or less with the opposing teams that year?
I mean, when I say you could hear everything, you could hear everything. So
yeah, so I'm just curious. So like, it was like people were like, oh, everyone can hear literally everything I'm saying now, or you know, it's like everyone's hearing everything, so they're jawing back at each other.
Yeah, that, like, so like the shit talking is, yeah, like shit talking's hilarious as it is,
but when absolutely hilarious.
Everyone, when you could hear everyone, and I feel like all the parents in the stands, I always come back like the parents can hear Coach Parker ripping us for fucking on the sideline. Just what the fuck are we playing? Like, are we playing cover two, tempo one, like motherfucking us? Like, I feel, and then all the shit talk going on, I feel bad for all the parents and everyone that, that were able in the stands. Cause they could,
I think the parents could kind of hear even when there were people in the stands, cause they're sitting like right there. Now they can definitely hear.
Yeah. It's just like, and obviously like the stadiums, like there's echoes and stuff. You could literally just hear everything, which is super weird. Never want that again, but it was fine that we played. I mean, as long as we played, plus I think we played the most games out of any Big Ten team because we had no COVID issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you guys did. So you get through the COVID year. I mean, your career, man, it's kind of, you've been through some shit at this point.
It's a long road, long career. You know, I'm happy that I had my career like that, but I don't wish it upon anyone.
Well, you got to finish it in 2021. You get some more awards. Reggie Roby Special Teams Award overall.
Hey. It's
pretty good.
Well done, my man.
Thank you.
Hayden Fry Award Special Teams Team Leader Award Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Did some shit in 2021 in the old senior year.
Yeah, that Hayden Fry Award, that's like one of my most like proud moments that like I got, because I think it was three guys that got it. I think it was Lindy on offense, Jack Campbell on defense, and me on special teams. Shit. I think, unless it was five guys, Jack Kerner and Matt Hankins were on there maybe. I don't know. Three or five guys, but
My remembering was that, yeah, it was just offense, defense, special teams every year.
Either way, like, you're like, that's that award. Like, Coach Fry was my dad's coach, and when my dad would talk about Coach Fry, like how he was, and it's just like, it's special, and it was special. Like, being rewarded like that was just like, wow, like I really like made an impact as a leader. Like, I was a real leader to the fifth years all the way down to the true freshman. And I earned my respect. And that's like the most important thing that came with me. Like, I want to earn the respect of my teammates and my coaches. Everyone, we always say it in the building. Kind of gets cliche-ish, but that was like a main goal of mine. I want everyone to respect me, everyone to come to me if they ever need anything, be friends with everyone. And I feel like I achieved that. And that Hayden Fry Award just like made me realize like, I made an impact.
You got validation. Like,
you were
cupping guys' asses in the line to everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Marquez is a fucking Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's literally like Coach Woods, Coach Parker, Coach Ferentz are like, this guy is a Hawkeye. So I went back. Again, I don't want to toot my own horn. Like, I hate that. But
toot it, bro. We fucking created a podcast based on our glory days. Toot it all you want.
So I went back to the spring game because, you know, I miss it. I miss football so much. I miss everything. Just love the sport.
Doesn't really go away, so get used to that. Go ahead.
And so I go in the special teams meetings. I go throughout all the meetings, get out on the field, and Coach Woods is like, hey, the first meeting of spring ball, I showed a highlight tape of you. But just like, this guy is what a Hawkeye is. And like, I don't do that often, but I want you to know, like, I gathered up all these big plays that you made over your years, and I showed it on the first day of spring ball. Just, if you want someone to emulate, like, emulate this guy. Special teams is like a way you could find your role and be remembered for it. And I feel like just having that impact, and like all the coaches saying that, even Coach Parker was just like happy to have you back, like so excited, like, you know. And it made me, again, like having that validation of like, wow, I made an impact.
I know how that feels. That hit, didn't it? That hit.
God, it's like Coach Woods giving me chills right now. Like Coach Woods, like you guys know in the special teams meetings, like he's showing like, I don't know, like Dallas Clark's special teams highlights.
Riley McCarron on the punt.
Sanders, yeah. Bob Sanders making big plays on special teams. And to know that Coach Woods put one of me on there, just like a little, could be like two plays. Doesn't even matter. Just having those plays and that impact there where Coach Woods is like, this is a guy you want to emulate and I get put on that highlight tape. Like, that's just like, I don't know. It might be hard for people listening, like to understand, like,
yeah,
when you see yourself or you see people like in the past, like Bob Sanders, Dallas Clark, guys that made huge impacts for Iowa and obviously in their NFL careers, like they get on those highlight tapes, you see them as a player. And then to know that your coach put one of you, like, wow, that was like a great feeling. And it just, again, like the feeling is unmatched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it goes back to that feeling of leave the jersey in a better place. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, you can talk about it. Like you came in hoping to, you know, be a starter, maybe flirt around with going to the NFL. It doesn't work out like that, but to know that not only your teammates with, you know, voting those awards for you, but also your coaches giving you the recognition, like saying, hey, your contributions meant a significant amount to this team.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're right, Henry, where it's hard to describe what that means to a guy because you sit there for 5 years and every day you're aware of how hard it is mm-hmm. to get a coach to give you a little, right? Like to just praise you a little bit. Like tell me I'm like, give me that validation.
Yeah.
And when you're in that spot, that 5 years takes forever, dude. When they're not blowing you and every day feels harder than the last because you're not getting that recognition, it takes forever.
And then, and so then when you do get it, and not only do you, it could be in by itself, like it could just be coach talking to you alone and him just telling you, I had a conversation with Coach Woods back in like January and just talking to him and like about stuff that I did, it felt good. But when they do it in front of the guys that you played with and say, like, I came back the first year, it would have been 2018. You would have been sitting in the room for like one day of camp. And I was sitting in the back, didn't even care to be recognized at all. But Coach Woods started the special teams meeting with something like, we got Tyler Kluver back today, one of the better specialists we've had in the past. And he was blowing smoke, right? But just because he said that in front of a group took 3 seconds, I was like, oh, we'll fucking take that. We'll take that all day. Like that feels good. And yeah, that it's, I mean, you can run on that fuel for the next 5 or 10 years, man. Like that's good shit.
It's like, I'll run on that for the rest of my life. Just knowing that like I had the respect of my teammates and the respect of my coaches and that I'm welcome back anytime.
Yeah.
Like they have that open invite. They're the best. Like you said, like Coach Woods saying Tyler Kluver's in the back. One of our better specialists, long snapper, like Coach Ferentz, Coach Woods, when they always bring in guests, they always make them feel welcome. And that's like amazing. That's amazing for people. That brings people back and yeah. It brings people like, hey, like you're one of us. Doesn't matter how far along you've been.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, but a lot of people, diehard fans definitely, you know, probably recognize the name, recognize you running around out there making plays. You definitely continue to kind of like find yourself making plays as your career went on.
And the block punt was fucking legendary.
And boy, was that needed. But God, that was so clutch, bro.
Yeah. Oh my God. We went absolutely banana.
Give me a little on that. Give me a taste of what that was like.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate you guys. You guys made bigger plays than that in your career. So,
actually, zero of us three made a bigger play than that, actually.
But I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best. But yeah. So I'll go back weeks prior, Minnesota, like 2 weeks before, we had that same call.
Schemed it up. They had it schemed. I knew that thing was in the book.
Schemed it up, and I missed it. I didn't miss it. I tipped it. I nicked it, but I didn't get a full block. So, you know, no one fucking remembers that shit. Then Illinois, same call, barely miss it. Like, just a step behind punter Blake Hayes, Illinois punter. He got it off quick, had a quick, you know, gather time, whatever, did his steps, boom. Nebraska, we're scheming it up all week in practice. We get a hint of their cadence because on tape, you see the mic, what Drake used to do, or Drake used to, what, the Will, Sam, or Leo, in the shield, you could see him, like, doing the cadence, like, huh, huh, and he's a big guy, so you could hear, like, you could see his stomach, like, dropping, everything. And from, I forget who they played the week prior, but that coach came to Coach Woods, and Coach Woods came to me on Sunday. He was like, hey, we got a tip on their cadence from whoever, I forget who they played before, so get ready.
I know, and I know how that came across too, because this is how Woods says it. He sees you, and it's the first time that he's seen you since he gets that tip, and he goes, Henry, you're getting one this week. We got him.
Oh, every single week, yo, he would always be like, hey, this one's it. This one's it. So then fourth quarter, start of the fourth quarter, what, we're down 21-9.
Playing like shit.
Playing like shit, offensively, defensively, special teams even. And just not a good game at all for us. And we're backs against the wall. We're going to lose to a fucking 3-8 team, our rival.
Streaks on the line.
Streaks on the line. And, like, I haven't lost to Nebraska. And I was like, I'm not fucking – I don't want that be tarnished. This season tarnished. We could have won. At that point, we're going to be 10-2. And we're – have a chance to go play in the Big Ten championship. And we could possibly get to the Rose Bowl, 12 wins, whatever. Have a great season. And so start of the fourth quarter, they're punting their own end, our left hash. He calls it. Coach Woods, it's media timeout. And Brock, who's like the special teams GA, he's like, hey, he tells Coach Woods, he's like, hey, we need something. And Coach Woods is like, we need it. Go get it. Like, I'll never forget that. Like, we were all in the huddle on the sideline, and he just looks dead at me. I have a vivid memory. Like, we need it. Go get it.
Oh, and that's like getting the execute call in SEAL Team 6, man.
That was the play. That was it. And I knew it. He didn't even have to say it. I was like, all right, like, this is time, do or die. And just going back to the preparation of knowing the cadence, like, and knowing their points, like, these guys had the same pump protection as us. So if they're on our left hash, their right hash, I was to the field. These guys are going down. So I'm getting as tight as possible to that end.
Talk dirty, Tank. Come on now. Fire me up.
I'm getting as tight as possible because I know this guy, we're going to have everyone going. We're going to make it look like everyone's rushing. So this guy, the end, is going to point the guy inside of me. So I'm free. And then if everyone gets to the shield's not going to touch me. Like, they're going to protect inside out, and I'm the furthest guy out there.
So for those listening, this is – Hank is supposed to be taken care of by the op time. The snapper punter are supposed to get this off and take care of the outside guy.
Yeah, the punter has me. The punter has me, basically. The shield's got everything. The punter's got the most outside guy. So – as I know that, like, just preparation, going through the week, doing it in practice. And I saw the point, and on the first cadence, these guys point. And these guys didn't even have to point. I knew what was going on. They point, I'm like, all right, I'm free. I know my cadence. I get, like, as soon as that first one goes, I'm like ready to jump. Second one, boom, I'm gone. And just, I had a great get off. And
did you feel it before you even had a hand on it? You're like, oh shit.
I knew because my first two, it's the most critical are the first two steps. You don't fall step on your first step. And that second step is like a good, you know, a guide step, basically.
You get 5-3.
I knew, like, this guy was catching the ball, and I was basically, like, and I knew this guy was, like, trying to get it off. Like, he tried. And the snap was actually a decent snap. And this snapper was kind of wide, like, a little, like, off target. It was a decent snap. And I just knew, like, as soon as I got to, like, that midway, what, 16 yards back is the punter, basically, 16, around there.
14 and a half, 15.
Yeah. And I knew, like, I was at, like, I don't know, 7 yards, like, halfway there. I was like, all right, I got it. But this – so the guy in the shield, Allen, big 6'7" guy, long guy, he tried getting as long as he could. And I was just like, fuck it, let's send it. Dove for it. Got my hands on it, tipped up Kyler Fisher, great catch, over the shoulder, touchdown. All I remember is I block it, I know I have it, I roll over, and I see the ball up in the air, spinning, dwiddling. I'm like, please, someone catch that, or please, someone get it. And then I roll over, and I'm laying on the ground. I roll over, I see Kyler, just perfect, like, in between, like, two guys, like, picture perfect. He catches it. I get up and I just start going crazy. I'm like, I was like, motherfucker, I'm here, motherfucker. Like, all that.
Yes.
To all the Nebraska fans, and the stadium went quiet. You hear our fans back there in our section. I'm just like, I'm here, motherfucker. It's our fucking game. And
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to go back and watch that clip like porn after this, by the way.
And, oh, it's giving me chills, dude. I want to go freaking do it again. I run over the sideline. Everyone's giving me the, you know, hats, you know, whatever. And then the stadium is quiet. That is the best thing on the road. Mm-hmm. Stadium goes quiet after a big game. And our stands, and I look over, they're cheering. I'm like, fuck that. Like, let's go. Let's go. Let's fucking go. And these guys start doing, let's go Hawks. And it's like, oh, it was awesome. Then kickoff right after. I was gassed. Kickoff, running down. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to smoke this motherfucker. But these guys wouldn't take it out for shit all game. I wish they did. Oh, that was a great moment. Then we ended up winning the game, which was the best part. And that after the game celebration in that Nebraska locker room, you guys know what it looks like in that like mosh pit, basically. And it's just,
that one went hard. I know that one went hard for sure.
We had the Heroes Trophy, and then we had the Big Ten West Champs Trophy. And, that was great. I'll never forget that. But, the guys really made it happen. Like, after that, then the game started. All right, we're in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad I gave the guys a little juice. Like, all right, we're here. Defense started clicking, getting turnovers. Offense, moving it down, kicking their ass in the run game. You go back, watch that fourth quarter. Offense.
Completely different game.
Completely different.
And I truly don't believe that we win that game where the script flips like that if you don't make that play there. That's why, like, you can't – there's no chance any three of us made a play remotely as big as that one.
Facts.
And for everyone listening, that's why special teams matters. That's why field position matters. That's why every single special teams play, every single play in a game matters. And that's, you know – real, you know, football fans understand, but like for the average viewer of football, just like special teams isn't just like a blow off. I'm going to go run to the kitchen, go grab something. So the offense defense gets out. No, special teams are huge. There's a lot of preparation in it, especially here at Iowa. And no, it's great. But the boys really won, you know, it wasn't me. Like the boys won that. The Hawks won it. It wasn't me. It was just me playing my part. And doing my job.
Incredible to take us through that. We might have to bring you back for more because we're already going on 90 minutes here. I want to finish this one, though, with you got to experience something that not a lot of people do on senior day. And your brother, who you're playing against, in the stadium is standing out there in full uniform to receive you with your parents. What was that like, dude?
Yeah, that's I'm sorry for, you know, rambling and going through this.
No. Our podcast has been ass for 8 weeks, dude. This is the best episode we've had in like months.
I appreciate it. But yeah, senior day, it was great. Like before the season, you know, you see the poster and you know the schedule, and it's like, wow, my senior day is gonna be against Illinois. And my parents know that. And yeah, so wow, that before the week on Sunday, or Monday, I think it was Monday in the afternoon, I went into Coach Ferentz's office and say, like, hey coach, it's senior day. Just wanna ask if it's possible that my brother, Mike, who knows, can come out and greet me at the ceremony for when I get announced. He's like, oh, that is awesome. Like, I'm so happy. Like, that is great. Like, go ahead and do it. Just I'll talk to Coach Bielma and make sure he gets, you know, confirmation of that as well. So I was like, thank you, coach, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's the best. Coach
KF Ferentz. KF is a football guy, and that made him happy as hell. I can see him. He's just going in his, absolutely. Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's great. so I do that, you know, get out of his office, and I text Mike. I'm like, hey, it's all good. Just make sure Bielma's all good. And then he's like, I talked to him. Bielma said, you know, Bielma's an Iowa guy, you know, played at Iowa. And he's like, hell yeah, like, let's do it. Like, that's great. And unfortunately, Bielma didn't make the trip because he had COVID for that game. But either way, it was still set in stone. So, you know, my name gets announced, and the crowd doesn't know yet. You know, the crowd goes crazy for, you know, Riley and all those guys. And then, you know, you go out and the crowd doesn't know. Then they see this Illinois football player and, you know, the camera's down there, everyone's seen it clapping. And then they see me and my brother like hug, basically. My mom's crying. My dad gives us all a group hug. And then my dad gives like one of these like to the crowd, and the crowd starts going, getting louder. And it was just a great moment. And it was awesome. Like the pictures that I have from it, it's great. And that was just a top five moment. My parents will probably say it's one of their great moments ever. Like a cool experience being on Kinnick Stadium and having that happen. And again, like, thank you to like Coach Ferentz and Coach Bielma for letting us do that. And that was just a great experience. And then boom, that happened. Coaches were crying as I was going. And that day, like, you'll never forget senior day, and ended on a win, beat that ass. And, you know, me and Mike had that, you know, moment pregame. As soon as that shit ended, fuck you, you know, we're going.
That's amazing.
So during it, I was just like, you know, we like shoved each other in the crowd, like kind of like it. I was like, yeah, you better be fucking ready. I'm coming for the ass.
Amazing.
No, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Kev, Drake, you got anything else for the man?
No, that was a whole lot of fun, pal. We appreciate it.
What's next for you?
I'm working, and it's you know, it's good. It's a good adjustment in life. I like it. Out here in Chicago, and but I'm still, you know, got some contacts with some MLB teams going.
I was gonna say, maybe give the pod a call, huh? Get that shoulder loose.
So hopefully, you know, I get a little opportunity. Even if I get an opportunity and it happens, like, I'm just grateful, even if nothing comes out of it. But just grateful, like, just having these conversations recently. So it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Well, we thank you for coming on the pod and giving us your time. I think the fans will thoroughly enjoy this episode. Like I said, I'm not kidding when I say that our podcast has been as good as the fucking test you were taking.
CNN.
Yeah, I mean, like,
about as dry as KF's humor.
Yeah. So this is a welcome relief for the listeners, and just thank you.
Thank you guys for having me. Like, it's an honor. You know, you guys are doing it right. Yeah.
You got to chill with that, bro.
Well, two fucking losers and a CEO.
Come on. You guys are the best. I miss you guys. Seriously. And that cup story, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that cup story.
Well, and we'll finish with this. I'll share the screen one more time. It's a picture of you and your brother, I think from the year before. I think this is junior year.
That is COVID year, I think. Yeah.
This would have been 2020. And if you look on the side here, Brady Ross commented Cup City.
So funny.
Oh, that's great.
So it lives.
I'll never let it die either. I love it.
That's it. 314 episodes, and it's Henry Marquez. Thanks for coming on the show again, Hank, and everybody listening. Presented to you by DRF Sports.
Go cup somebody.
Go cup some ass, and we'll talk.
Go hit a trifecta this weekend on the Derby.
Yeah, go bet some horses, cup some ass, and we'll see you on Monday. Peace.
Thanks, guys.